If you want to cry, allow yourself to cry. If you want to scream, allow yourself to scream. It's crazy how productive it can be if you like set the intention and you don't run away from it. Just listen to your body and then you become connected to yourself.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to the How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs podcast. I'm your host, Brad Chandler, and we've got Hannah Chan as a guest today. Welcome, Hannah.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
So I'm going to hit it with a big one right off the bat. So you were able to completely reverse severe OCD in a matter of 3 or 4 hours. Can you please tell us how you were able to do that?
Well, part of it is working with you. And the other part is I was just ready. I think a lot of people, including me, a lot of the times they start, but they don't finish. And the pain was just so great. And the suffering was just that extreme that I think I was finally ready. I gotta let everyone know that I have been doing therapy since I was 12. So almost 10 years. And you were really the one that helped me break free. But also like the pain has been building up ever since I was a child. So I was very stubborn. It took me a long time.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll get into the cause of this and kind of how you overcame it. But I was just your guide in this process, right? I could go do the same exact thing with 100 different people and maybe 98 of them would change and 2 of them wouldn't. I don't know the exact numbers, obviously. But what was the OCD affliction that you had?
I picked my skin, like on my foot. And it started when I was little. It was so bad that I couldn't walk and it was bleeding. I had to tape it. Every time I was suffering, I would just pick at it because no one could see. It was a spot that no one would check and no one would suspect. So yeah, I was trying to be really sneaky with it.
Right. And that was born out of typically OCD tendencies. It's something you can control, right? And you didn't have a lot of control as a child, did you?
No control. It's funny. A lot of people say I had a happy childhood just because I wasn't abused physically. But it's even harder to admit whenever you weren't like physically abused. I was verbally abused all the time, not just by my parents, but also my peers. So yeah, it was hard.
There's a lot of experts that believe that the mental abuse is actually worse than physical abuse. So you had a lot of rough stuff in your childhood. You use this as a coping mechanism, which I know since your transformation, you've done a lot of study on this. So you know a lot of this stuff now. Our brains do what they were supposed to do, right? So you had no control as a child. So you touching your foot constantly was a way for you to be able to control something, right? And then that spilled over into adulthood. The fascinating thing, though, is some people live with this stuff the rest of their life. I had a distant relative that would clean her house. She would get up at like 5 a.m. and clean her house for 3 hours every day. This was into her 70s. Why was that? Because her entire life, she lived that life of a child trying to get control because she didn't have control. So some people can never kick this stuff. Like, it's really hard. I did provide you with certain techniques and counseling, right? I coached you, but a coach can only give a player the kind of game plan and you ran with it. So knowing what you knew about your transformation going through this, if someone else is out there and they have these OCD, how would you go about telling them, hey, this is what I did and you can free yourself from this pain?
I think the thing that really helped me was talking to you about pleasure versus attachment. And the word attachment used to make me very angry because I thought I didn't have any attachments. The truth is, if I knew that attachments were like a big source of my suffering, I would have maybe overcome it a while ago. And I always tell my friends as well, like, make a list of your attachments. And it's anything, like any place or person or object or title or status or money or painting or shoe or food, anything that you're like dependent on emotionally, and anything that causes you pain or happiness, I would think about it. So what I did was I made the list, and it was very hard to come to terms with it because I knew that eventually I would have to change. And I think that's really hard because it's so threatening to your brain and to your ego. And who am I going to be without that? Because yeah, I identify so much with that. And I realize that now I hate identifying with anything. I mean, my mom, still now that all her daughters are grown up, she still identifies as a mom. And I know a lot of people are not going to like that, but what happens when your children grow up and they move out and they live their own life and then they get married and they have their own families and the mom is so identified as a mom that she suffers when the children are not there? And my mom is in Europe and she is constantly obsessing why I'm not there. Why can't I live with her? So for me, I had to stop identifying myself with being an entrepreneur, for example. I thought that really determined my worth, but it's not true. And when I stop putting a label on myself of who am I, and I can just focus on being rather than doing, it became easy because there's no expectations. You just are.
So this is a fascinating thing that you're talking about, because when you go to your general therapist or your marriage counselor, you don't hear this type of stuff. I actually think you may have learned about it. It was it the book, The Way to Love, that you learned about?
Yeah.
It's a fabulous book that we both read, The Way to Love. And it talks about attachments. So let me get this straight, Hanna. Are you telling me that the reason that you were able to overcome your OCD is that you were able to look at the attachments in your life that were causing you pain because you identified with the things outside of yourself? You were trying to get pleasure from something outside. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when you stopped getting pleasure, that was able to heal you. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, but not just about the pain. It's also about things that made me happy. Because what happens when the thing that makes you happy disappears? Then your happiness disappears too. So even the things that made me really happy, I had to think twice. I thought I was a collector, but in reality, I was buying things so that my self-worth would go up. And overnight, I just like sold every belonging that I was so attached to. And it feels like I'm getting my soul back.
So my father would buy sometimes like 3, 4, or 5 sets of golf clubs a year. I buy one set of golf clubs like every 5 years. And looking back, that was what he was doing. He felt good when he could go into the store and walk out with something. And the people could be like, oh, you're here again. Like, oh, you must have a lot of money. So a lot of people can probably identify with that. Making themselves feel good with things outside, right?
Yes, exactly. If we can replace like our source of happiness from the outside, if we can replace it for the inside, life becomes like so much easier. And I think people think that easier is worse, or they feel like it's not satisfying enough. But for me, it's peaceful.
So before we met, you started working on yourself. Did you think that there was anything, quote, wrong in your life or wrong with you?
Yeah, I think in society, especially in social media, everyone is very comfortable with pointing out things that they're not happy with. And if you like yourself, you're considered a narcissist or a bad person. People will be like, oh, wow, like, really? Like, I will point out. And other people would want to point out. But yeah, I always thought there was something wrong. I think everyone does at some point in their life. Just because they're obsessed with other people's point of view. And they're obsessed with other people's opinions. And I was like that too. I was obsessing with what people thought about me. And I was curating my online presence a lot because of that.
Mona, were you doing that consciously though?
No.
No. So that's really important to know, right?
Yeah.
You were being driven by something that you didn't know why. Can you share with us now that you've done all this research and studied under Gabor as well? Tell us what that is. Talk a little bit about the subconscious mind and why you were doing those things.
Yeah. So I learned that when I was little, I had to beg for love, and it kind of manifested later in life. And I learned that every act that I did was a call for love, because I never got that love from my parents. And that's the only thing that my brain knew. And subconsciously, I would post like jokes, which is good. But at some point, you keep hurting yourself subconsciously because you take jokes on your behalf and your self-image gets completely destroyed. And I think everyone at some point grew with that super ego, because that's the only thing we know. That's the only thing that's comfortable with us. And people, of course, they don't want to break out of that. It's hard and it's painful and it's different and it's something that you've never seen in your life. You kind of like break free.
So how would you, because there's a lot of people out there, including you and me in our past, where we were being controlled by these thoughts in our head that we didn't even really know. So if the person who's listening saying, hey, that's not me, how would you recommend you could give them some advice where it'd be like, if you're doing this, you may have an issue and it may be keeping you from ultimate happiness and peace?
I would say that the way that I did it was I pretended that my thoughts are like another person, because we're not our thoughts. And I would just visualize like a copy of me sitting next to me that would like represent my thoughts. And I would be like, hey, like, I don't need you anymore. I'm grown now. I can take care of myself. I know I'm worthy no matter what. I know that whatever I do, it doesn't prove anything. Like, I'm enough just by being. And I'm worthy of love just by being. And so is everyone. So I told myself, well, you can skedaddle. And I still feel pain and I still sometimes have doubts. But it's so much easier to cope with it now, because now I'm able not to run away. I don't move around and I don't take like 100 trips, because I used to take so many trips and I thought that I would like experience nature and a new city and it would be so beautiful. But no, I was lying to myself. I was trying to escape from my feelings. And after we did our training, I learned to just sit and feel. And I think if I can like give one message to your audience, is to just learn how to sit and feel.
What exactly does that mean?
It means that if you want to cry, allow yourself to cry. If you want to scream, allow yourself to scream. If you, oh my gosh, everyone that I met, because I just moved, this building is like full of entrepreneurs, and these guys don't want to allow themselves to rest. But it's crazy how productive rest can be if you like set the intention and you don't run away from it. Just listen to your body, and then you become connected to yourself.
So you had these feelings, right, from childhood bottled up in you that you weren't able to express because you couldn't as a child, but they were still inside of you, right? And they were hurting you. And you tried to escape through travel and purchasing things. And then other people can escape through drugs, through alcohol, through sex.
Yeah, like shopping.
The list goes on and on, right? What you're saying is, rather than go home and have those 3 glasses of wine at night, or go buy the $600 purse, or go take off on your next trip, you're saying feel, like sit there and feel what you're feeling. Don't try to run from it, because running from it is not going to make it go away.
Yeah. And I'm saying that have compassion for yourself, because it's hard, especially if your family doesn't support you or your spouse doesn't support you and you might feel alone, but you're never alone. And I spend a lot of time alone. I know.
So that's a good point, right? I didn't like being at home alone. Now I love it. And I know on Thanksgiving, we chatted and you were home alone with no family. And you told me, I'm having the best day. Speak a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I had the best day ever, because I don't need anyone to make me happy or anything. I actually was reading a book and I made some great food. I watched a movie and I didn't feel bad about it. Like, why should I? If anything, I'm very proud of myself, because before I would feel anxious that just because I'm not in a social setting, like it's not acceptable. So I had the best time of my life just by myself. This year, I was grateful for the ability to do so.
So someone's listening to this saying, what do you mean it's you can't ever be alone and you can't ever be lonely? Like, I'm lonely. I'm here by myself. I have no family. I'm lonely. How would you address them?
Just because you're alone does not mean that you're lonely. All of my family does not live in the United States. It's just me. They all live in Slovenia. But not for one second do I feel lonely, because lonely to me means disconnected. And I feel incredibly connected to myself now. So I know I'll always have me. The beauty is, when you become connected to yourself, it's kind of like you connect to nature more, to God, to universe, and you find beauty in every moment of your life. Like, for example, this morning I woke up, I came here to the kitchen, and then I have like a view of the city, and like 2 doves flew on the balcony and they were like playing with each other. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would never notice that before. You would think like silly doves. It makes me so happy.
Why couldn't you appreciate those things before? And why didn't you see those things before?
Because I wasn't connected to myself.
And why weren't you connected to yourself?
Because as a child, I didn't have the safe space to connect with myself or to be authentic. I had to suppress my authenticity. And a good way to know is if you're like a people pleaser, like I was, if you take over personalities from your friends really quickly, or if you watch a movie and you decide, oh my gosh, I want to be like this person, it's because like you don't know who you are. You just want to take over someone's personality that is already liked so that you would be liked.
Yeah, so you said people pleaser. In Gabor's new 600-page book, Myth of Normal, it talks about he's been a physician for 40 years, as you well know, and he specializes in trauma and addiction. And he says some of the most aggressive forms of breast cancer are in women who are people pleasers. And he gives an example of the book where when the lady gets a diagnosis, she goes, oh, how am I going to be able to take care of my husband? How's my husband going to be able to deal with this? Her husband didn't have any medical problems. So it's crazy to think that that nice little lady gets cancer or gets sick or gets all kinds of different diseases because why are they a people pleaser? They're trying to make themselves feel better from the trauma of their childhood. They're trying to change who they are, and it just doesn't work. It ends up killing you, really.
Yep. And it's crazy because you can reverse almost any disease if you know how to connect to yourself. And if you can learn how to be authentic, then if you can express yourself. Yesterday, I went ice skating and I went by myself and there was tons of professionals there and I just didn't care. I just wanted to do some laps and I was so happy and I filled my own cup. And I think that's what it's about, experiencing without judgment to connect.
So if you would have said what you said to me 2 years ago, that you can reverse disease by connecting to yourself, I would have been like, you're crazy. And there's a lot of people saying she's crazy, right? What is she talking about?
Think of it like that, Brad. Connecting to yourself means like, okay, I know what my gut is telling me. I'm going to follow my gut. And now I'm able to be aware of, okay, do I feel like I'm getting like a cough right now? Should I like take a rest? Should I drink some tea? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And that's kind of like the surface of reversing, right? A cough.
Well, major disease, like Gabor is treated, like he's done the research. And if you go to the best MD Anderson School of Cancer Research at the University of Texas in Austin, says right on their website that stress will fuel cancer. And they don't go so far to say as it will cause it, but we all have cancer cells in our body. The more stressed you are, the more you live with it. Stress comes from not being connected to yourself. Trauma takes you out of connection with yourself. So you may be listening to this saying, she's crazy, he's crazy, but we're really not crazy. If you live a life of complete stress, like Hannah, like myself, and our behaviors are driven by stuff that we didn't even know what was causing the stress until we did the work, and the stress always comes from childhood trauma, right? To figure that out, you're not going to help yourself in terms of preventing disease. If you're on the fence about whether you need some help, that would be a huge thing, is to prevent future disease.
Yeah.
So Hannah, I've been at this now for 20 months. I've watched hundreds of hours of videos. I've watched some of the best people in the world do transformations. You truly are someone that I put up there with the most radical transformation I've ever seen. You have made such progress in so little time. Every day, I can't imagine. It's just incredible. How did you do that? You said that a little bit at the beginning, but I want to hear more about how did you do it and how could other people do the same?
Well, like I said, I've been doing therapy for 10 years, but I can't specify how important you were to my journey because you really like understood, and you only understand if you've been through it yourself. I had so much tension built up that I just couldn't take it anymore. And I think people will start when they're ready. They can't be forced and no one can convince them just until it's almost too late. I remember my feet were so bad. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go to the fridge. I would almost have to like be on my knees to go. I would have to limp to get there.
How long ago was this?
I think like that was May or June.
And after our third session, I think I asked you, how has it been? And you said, I haven't touched my foot. And now it's been 5 or 6 months and it's completely gone?
Yeah, it's completely gone. I do think about it, but I'm aware now to say, oh my gosh, I could have done that, but I didn't. I don't have to.
Did you used to give yourself love?
No.
Did you give yourself compassion?
No, never. My life has changed so much. Brad, this was hard for me, but I was able to travel across America by myself where I could have never imagined that before, ever. Like, that was like the scariest thing, to be on a plane by myself and go from like New York to Los Angeles by myself. Like, I would have these scary stories in my head that someone was going to kidnap me and that I was going to die if I go. Now I know that's not true. Now I know that this was my brain telling me, oh, like, you got to protect yourself or else, always or else. But now I'm going to enjoy what life has to offer. It doesn't have to be that way. Every day is beautiful. And every time there's an obstacle, it's just an opportunity. It's not even like an opportunity to grow. I just call it like an opportunity to experience. Because now I just let it flow through me. Like every emotion, I just let it flow through me. I still have some bad days. And I literally just sit and just let it flow.
So there are countless other people out there that are also scared to travel. They're also always thinking about what bad could happen.
Yeah, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Can you tell us, why did your brain do that?
It took over from my mom, because my mom would always tell me, oh my gosh, the world is a scary place. So therefore, you gotta be scared. My brain took over because that's all it knew from my childhood. And that's all I was taught. I didn't even like register that it doesn't have to be that way. I didn't even register that it could be better, or there's a possibility that it could be safe.
Was your childhood a scary place?
It was.
Yeah. So that's where you formed that belief and programmed your mind that the world is a scary place. So what are you doing? You're scanning the savannah. Up until a couple months ago, your whole life was spent looking for the lions, right?
Always.
And you know now, after doing all of your research, that how many people are searching for lions every day, and there are no lions, but their whole life is controlled by these fictitious lions, right?
That's exactly how it is. I think in the first few sentences of The Way to Love, DeMello says, try to find like one truly happy person and like one like city or state. And you're lucky if you find one.
Well, I am truly blessed and grateful to have started and be on this journey with you. It's been amazing. And I'm so glad. Why don't we wrap up by telling people there's a lot of suffering going on in the world, right? And most of it is self-inflicted. And it's self-inflicted by these crazy thoughts that we tell ourselves. So why don't you tell the audience, what advice would you give if they're listening to this and they're struggling in some area or all of their areas of their life?
I would tell them to don't freak out, that it's okay. And I would start by asking, like, what are you feeling? And not your perspective, like, oh, I'm feeling like I've been done wrong. No, not your perspective, but what are you feeling? If you're ready to admit to yourself, then already in admitting, you find relief.
And then what do they do if they want to take the next step? What would you advise someone who's really just is tired of suffering and is to really see change, right? They got to want to be able to change, and they've got to see things from a different perspective or be willing to. What would you say to someone out there? It's like, what do I do?
Well, I would say to message you, honestly. You're a great guide. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, I tell you every day, and I will continue to because you, I don't want to cry. But I don't know what I would do. I'd still be like lost and in the dark. Like the last 2 months, even though I experienced a lot of chaos, like my perspective was like, it was actually really nice. It was really beautiful. So I wouldn't have it any other way. I really encourage everyone to contact Brad. I swear.
Thank you for saying that. You are going to be an inspiration to many. I know you're going to end up helping lots of people. Your story is truly fascinating. It really is. Knowing where you came from as a child and all the trauma and all the terrible stuff that you went through and all the darkness to the lightness that you're shining now. You look like a different person. You radiate a different light. It truly is amazing. And I hope that someone out there that is in darkness, that is watching this, that says, I've been to therapy. It didn't work. Well, there are alternative methods. We have been able to study under some of the best people, and it doesn't have to take months and years to change, because all you really need to do is change your thinking. And once you change your thinking, you change your behavior and your actions, and you're living proof of it. All you really did was you've changed your thinking, right?
Yeah, it was already here. We already have everything. It's just uncovering it a little bit.
Yeah, because it was covered up through your trauma and stress as a child, but it's still there, right? And we can get it back. You're getting your essence back. You're connecting to yourself. So I just want the world to know that no matter where you are, no matter what suffering you have, it can change, and it can change in a big way. So if I can help you, reach out to me. If you want to talk with Hannah, I put her email up there. She's happy to talk with you. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, like it, rate it, review it, share it. come back, listen again. We're going to have amazing guests. We're going to follow the journey of Hannah. We'll have her back on in a couple months, and you don't have to suffer. There is a better way. Life is beautiful.
You don't have to earn this amount to dress like that, to have a big house to be enough. You don't have to have like a designer brand of car or whatever to be enough or anything. You already are.
You are enough. All right, we're going to end on that, Hannah. Again, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me, Brad. Always a pleasure.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.